Duke of Wellington was one of the great military leaders of the British Empire at the turn of the 19th century. He's probably most famous for being the man who defeated Napoleon Bonaparte at the Battle of Waterloo. He was asked near the end of his life, what would you do different? And he reflected upon his life as a military leader, commander of men. His response was, I would have given more praise. I would have, in other words, I would have complimented, I would have commended people more than he had done. And that's a valuable thing, to compliment people and to praise them when praise is due. We have a saying about giving credit where credit is due, and that applies with giving praise. I think you can certainly overdo the praise and the compliments, and perhaps that has been done to some degree in recent years with the notion, particularly in schools, it seems that there is an emphasis on building self-esteem and praising and always complimenting children. And maybe what we've created is just a selfish kind of attitude within kids that they just become kind of like brats. But praising, and when it is appropriate, is something that is right and it is good. It's not harmful at all to people. Certainly in the scriptures we see where churches needed to be praised, and they were praised. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 in the second verse, the Apostle Paul says, I commend you. Commended the Corinthians for having remembered him and for having kept him in their thoughts and in their prayers and in their concerns. Then later on in the chapter, in the 17th verse, when he begins to talk about divisions that had occurred within them, he says, in this I do not praise you. So there are times when it's appropriate to praise, and there's times when it's not appropriate to praise, but rather it's appropriate to criticize. It's appropriate to point out faults that need to be corrected. Well, I think it would probably be of little surprise to most people here this morning that Jesus was one who, when it was appropriate, praised and complimented people. And I want to talk to you for a few moments this morning about the compliments that Jesus paid to individuals. I think, first of all, I think of how he complimented a man for his honesty in John, the first chapter, and in verses 45 and 47, you see where we read about him encountering this individual, a man named Nathanael. Verse 45, Jesus' assessment when he saw Nathanael, and excuse me, in verse 47, his assessment when he saw Nathanael was, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no guile. Guile is deceit. It's dishonesty. And what Jesus had to say about Nathanael on this occasion was this: here's a man who is an Israelite indeed. That is, in his life, in his practices. He was a man who was living honestly and sincerely, according to the laws of Moses and according to the practices of the Jews under that law. This was an Israelite indeed. This is not a man who is a fraud. He doesn't pretend. I don't know about how many of you did this when you were kids growing up. We used to go out and play army, and we'd get us a stick, and that was our gun, and we'd go out, and we'd try to ambush one another and surprise one another, and we'd bang, 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 and play like you're dead. Play like. play like this or play like that. Well, what Jesus never commends is people who play like in their religion, who pretend, who give a sense or attempt to give a sense to others that they are something that they are not. And if you're not aware of Jesus's feelings about these things, read Matthew chapter 23 sometime. The harshest criticisms he ever leveled against any people are contained in the 23rd chapter of Matthew, when he spoke to the scribes, the Pharisees, whom he called hypocrites. And that's exactly what hypocrisy is. It's play-like. It's pretending that you're something that you're not. Well, when Jesus saw this man, Nathanael, he said, here's a man who's an Israelite indeed. There's no pretend in him. And it's not surprising that Jesus would recognize this quality in this man. It was, after all, a quality that Jesus himself possessed. 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 22 talks about the fact that there was no guile, or rather no deceit that was found in his mouth. That was the description that Peter gave of Jesus and the exemplary life that Jesus lived, that he was not a deceitful man. He didn't mislead people in his words or in his deeds. And so it's not surprising that those who would follow Jesus are called upon to be people of the same type. 1 Peter chapter 2, once again, but earlier in the chapter and in verse 2, there we find where Christians are urged to put aside or to lay aside all guile. If you want to be a Christian, you're just not going to be able to pretend at it, to play like it. But you need to really be it. And that's what Jesus found as worthy of compliments when he came across this man, Nathanael. There's another occasion where Jesus found something to compliment, and that was he complimented courage. He complimented the courage that he saw in Matthew chapter 11 and verses 7 through 11 when he spoke about his relative and his good friend, John, the man that we know as John the Baptist, Matthew 11. And in verse 7, we're told that he's speaking to his disciples about John, said, What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? You ever see reeds along a shoreline of a river or of a lake, and the wind blows and those reeds go this way, and if the wind shifts, they go back that way, and they're just blown to and fro in the wind. And Jesus says, is that what you expected to find when you went out and you saw John? Somebody that would just go this way and he'd go that way. Wherever the wind happened to be blowing, whatever direction it was maybe convenient to lean towards, is that what you expected to find in John? He says, what did you go out to see in verse 8? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in king's palaces. Why did you go out? To see a prophet? Yes, I say to you, and one who is more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has not arisen anyone greater than John the Baptist, yet he who is the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Jesus found in John an example of courage, an example of commitment, of conviction, someone who wasn't going to be blown to and fro by the various doctrines and the various expectations of people. It was someone who was going to stand firm. He was going to be exactly what God sent him into this world to be, as the forerunner of Jesus, announcing the coming of Jesus, the Messiah, the voice who cried out in the wilderness as the prophet spoke of him. So Jesus found reason for complimenting John. But I want to talk to you this morning primarily about another that Jesus found worthy of complimenting. Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 through 28. We see where Jesus found occasion to compliment one for faith. And again, that certainly would come as no surprise to this audience that Jesus would find faith, strong faith, as a reason to compliment someone. Verse 21 says that Jesus went away from there and withdrew into the district of Tyre and Sidon. Behold, a Canaanite woman came out from that region and began to cry out, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is cruelly demon-possessed." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came to him and kept asking him, saying, "Send her away, for she is shouting out after us." But he answered and said, "I was sent only to the house, to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and began to bow down before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered and said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." But she said, "Yes, Lord, even the dogs feed on the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, your faith is great. Be it done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed at once. On this Mother's Day, I thought it would be appropriate to think some about the compliment that Jesus paid to a mother about her faith and about the great impact that a mother's faith had in the life of a child. The Bible says that this child was cruelly demon-possessed. Now, there are a lot of things about demon possession that I suspect you may have questions about. I know I've got some questions myself about some of those things. But we're not here to talk about demon possession this morning. We want to talk about the faith of a mother. So our focus is going to be upon this woman who came to Jesus having this daughter cruelly impacted by the possession of a demon. And she came to Jesus with a request to help her. I think you can probably find no more tender appeal in all of the Scripture, of all the appeals that are made to Jesus in the New Testament, in the Gospel accounts. None is more tender than this woman's plea, "Lord, help me." You ever get to that point? Nothing else to say. You don't know what to do. All you can do is just say, "Lord, help me." That's where this woman was. We read a lot, as I said, about demon possession in the gospel accounts. I don't know exactly what this demon did to this daughter of this woman. I know I read of other accounts where demons could throw people to the ground and cast them into fires and all sorts of things that they would do as they terrorized the person that they possessed. There's no such description about what was done to this girl. But you can only imagine, particularly if you're a parent, you can only imagine how many times did this mother have to watch whatever and however this girl was afflicted. How many times did she have to watch? No wonder there is this sense of utter helplessness in her plea, "Lord, help me." But I want to suggest to you a few things about that plea that demonstrated the faith that Jesus found worthy of compliment in this woman. I'll tell you why. One reason that Jesus complimented her and her faith is because she went to the right person. Verse 22 once again says, a Canaanite woman came out from that region and began to cry, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is cruelly demon-possessed." She went to the right person. She went to the only one that could help her. She sought help from the Lord, and she found the Lord and went to Him for that assistance. I think there's just a lot we could talk about regarding mothers today who would direct and guide their children to the right person. May I ask you this, you who think about your mother today, you who reflect upon what she has meant in your life and what she has done for you in your life. If you asked her today, "To whom should I go?" What would her answer be? Would she say to you, "Son or daughter, I think you ought to go to the professor down at the university so he can educate you and you can improve your lot in life that way. Or I think you ought to go to the doctor so he can examine you and he can help you with whatever ailments you may be dealing with. I think you ought to go to your boss and you ought to talk to him or her about your career so that I'd love to see your career take off." And you really, would that be where your mother would send you? Or would your mother be like this mother? Would she send you to the right person? Would your mother tell you today, "Son or daughter, I would have you go to the Lord. That's where I want you to go. That's where you'll find the help and the direction that you need most in this life." Should you be concerned about your career, by the way? Is it okay to be concerned about your health? How about your education and the ways that might help you in your life in the future? Yeah, all of those things are good, and all of those things are fine to be concerned about and to seek the good things that those things can provide. But I'll tell you, I think probably what your mother would, if you're here today, I think probably what your mother would say to you is, "There's someone you need to go to more important than any of these, more important than all of these others." But I'll tell you, this mother also was commendable in the eyes of Jesus because she would not be overcome by discouragement. Verses 23 and 24 that we have read, we're told that when she made her appeal, that first of all, Jesus didn't even respond. He didn't answer her. I don't know about you, but in my house, no response is generally taken in a negative way. And I suspect that probably it might have been the inclination of this woman to have taken Jesus' no response as maybe even a denial. But on top of that, we see the reaction of Jesus' disciples. And they were very critical. Verse 23 says they came to Him and kept asking Him. So the sense that I get from that is that this wasn't something that they just came and said to Jesus one time, you know, "Would you get rid of her?" But it was a continual request on their part. "Send her away, for she's shouting out after us." I don't know if they were embarrassed or they were just annoyed, they were put off by this woman. Whatever the case, she would not be overcome by discouragement. It's interesting who this woman is, by the way. She is described here as a Canaanite woman. She is not a Jew. She's not a Hebrew. She is a descendant of those people who had originally inhabited this land that had been given to the Jews for their homeland, the Canaanite people. And so she is not, and I think it becomes borne out in the verses that follow, she is not someone who would typically have expected to have been welcomed with open arms by those who were Jews. She may have even very well anticipated this kind of discouragement, but she was undaunted in it. Let me ask you again about your mother. Did you ever do anything to discourage her? I'm pretty sure I did. But I tell you what I never had was the sense that she just gave up on me. There's no point in trying with David. He's just a lost cause. And I would guess that probably the same is true for you and your experience with your mother. It may very well be that you have been the occasion for discouragement to her. But like this woman, I doubt that she has been one who has been overcome by that discouragement. But a third thing that I see that Jesus perhaps saw in this woman that made her worthy of such a compliment was that she persisted in the right way. That's what mothers do with their children. Even in the face of discouragement, they persist in the way that's right. She came, verse 25 says, and began to bow down before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He said, "It's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." Now, a lot of people might read that verse and say, "Man, how cruel. What an insult." Here is Jesus, a Jew, dealing with this Canaanite woman, and he says, "Well, you people aren't anything but a bunch of dogs. Why should I address any concerns you might have?" That's not at all what he says. And the fact of the matter is, the word that's translated here for dogs in English is a word that means little dog. Now, let me ask you this. When you see somebody, I'll tell you this instead of asking it. Our daughter, Katie, just bought a little dog, a little puppy. And she thinks it's the greatest thing in the world. And you know, we've got Skypes and all that stuff so we can keep in touch with her. And so we see pictures and we get pictures of the grand dog and all of I've told her, that's got to stop. Not the pictures, the grand dog stuff. But when you say to someone like that, "Oh, what a cute little dog," do you think they take that to mean you're saying, "Well, that's nothing but a mangy old cur"? Well, of course not. It's a statement. It's a term of endearment. Jesus was not insulting this woman, not insulting her heritage, but he was making a pertinent point here. That as the Messiah, he was charged with coming to the Jewish nation first. It's, I think, interesting to take note of in his preaching, he talks about people outside of the Jewish nation receiving his gospel. But he was charged with coming to them first and speaking to them first. And so he was simply making an allusion to this woman of that fact. She made an interesting reply. "Yes, Lord," verse 27, "but even the dogs feed on the crumbs which fall from their master's table." And I don't think I need to tell you anything about what this means. And again, the imagery that it evokes. You've probably had your kids growing up sitting around the kitchen table, and you had the dog there in the house. And where did the dog sit? He sat by the kids. Why? Because they knew the crumbs were going to be coming from the kids' plate. There was a benefit to be had right there by the chair that the kids were sitting in. And that's what this woman is saying. All she's saying is, yes, it's totally appropriate that you, the Jewish Messiah, would come primarily to the Jewish people. But is it not also appropriate that others would receive crumbs, that they would receive benefits? And Jesus was just overcome by this woman. Oh, woman, your faith is great. Be it done for you as you wish. She persisted in the way that was right. She persisted in finding for her child the deliverance from the cruel circumstances that she was living in. And the final thing that I would say to you that this woman presented that Jesus found worthy of praise was, of course, that she would receive a reward. She was undaunted in her faith, and that undaunted faith was rewarded, as he says in verse 28. O woman, your faith is great. Be it done for you as you wish. Now, what I would ask you this evening, this morning as we close, is just this. Do you see your mom in this picture? Do you see a woman who has the knowledge to know who the right person is, to go to the answers that are needed in this life? Do you see a woman who would be undaunted, who would not be overcome by discouragements that she might encounter as life goes along? Do you see a woman in your mother who persists in what is right? Then may I tell you that you see a woman who has the assurance of a reward. An assurance that every person of faith has of a reward in heaven. But do you see yourself? Do you see yourself as the person who knows the right person to seek out for answers, who won't be overcome by discouragement? Are you the person who will persist in what is right? Then you too have the right to expect that reward. It's a wonderful thing. I suspect that in nations of the world, it's probably a unique thing that mothers are honored by our nation at this time. The Duke of Wellington said, "I would have praised more." And that probably is an appropriate thought for our relations to our mothers. I would have praised more. If you're not a Christian, I would suggest to you that probably the one thing that your mother would want for you is that you would be right with the Lord. And so you have that opportunity, giving your obedience to the gospel of Christ, to be right with Him. If you would this day confess faith that He is the Son of God, turn away from your sins, determine not to live according to that fashion any longer. You'd be baptized, washing the guilt of your sins away. You'd be made a child of God. Then with the right to look ahead with anticipation to the reward that God has promised to his children. Won't you come to him while we stand and sing today?